Dads on the air, we're here cause we care. We ask all the questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And welcome back to Dads on the Air, coming to you around Australia on the Community Radio Network. In this program, we bring you informing and entertaining conversations with a wide range of interesting people on topics of fatherhood, family and parenting, men's and boys' issues. Hi, I'm Bill Cable, and our special guest today is Nick Thorpe, who we're speaking to in Edinburgh, Scotland. Nick is the award-winning writer, editor, speaker. He's head of communications for Fathers Network Scotland, and in his adventures, he's actually voyaged to Easter Island on a raft of reeds and boat hitched, whatever that is, 2,500 miles around Scotland's waters. But he says his biggest adventure of the lot was in 2008 when he adopted his three-year-old son. Nick, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks, Bill. That's quite an introduction.
Nick, we wanted to talk to you about this innovation, I think it's just in Scotland, of the Year of the Dad in 2016.
Yeah, we're kind of 3 or 4 months into that. It's funded by the Scottish Government, and we're kind of running it with a whole raft of other organisations, dads organisations and services and so on. There's a lot of enthusiasm around it. We're delighted if people outside Scotland want to take it on board as well. Deliberately not Year of the Dad Scotland, it's just Year of the Dad. So great to be on the programme and talk to you about things in Australia as well. It's quite a small team of us just going at full pelt and just amazed by the way the idea has been picked up and run with by lots of other people, including mums. There's a lot of support from women over here for more involvement from dads in kind of bringing up children and getting involved in parenting.
Don't a lot of people say to you and make comments along the lines of, well, every year is Year of the Dad, what are you doing? You know.
But Year of the Dad is different because I think partly through our own doing, us men have kind of sort of sealed ourselves off on the wrong side of the wall from our families. In the same way that we've been kind of unfairly privileged in the workplace, that's meant that we haven't really taken on the job of being with our children to the same extent that mums have. And all the research shows that actually our kids, and this is based on children's needs, not on men's rights or anything. We're looking at the research around children needing their dads. All the research shows that outcomes and all kinds of things improve when both parents are involved. Is every year of the Dad? No, I don't think it is. I think we need to encourage men. I suppose a big light bulb moment for me was when I read some research about kind of hormones that are released in men as well as women by the whole bonding experience with babies. Because I think deep down, even myself, I thought kind of, you know, probably women are better at this stuff, right? You know, we'd be better just leaving mum to be the primary carer. But actually, it turns out that, you know, when you have that early bonding with your child, all of those kind of important bonding hormones are kind of swirling around the male system just as they are the women's system. And the only real difference, apart from obviously we can't breastfeed, is that we don't really get the chance to sort of trigger all of that, because quite often men are kind of in the workplace and not quite as involved as the other partner in bringing up their children, particularly early on in life. I think it's really important to encourage men to be there right from the start. And that's where we're kind of a bit like Australia, really. We don't have any compulsory legislation saying that dads have to be involved. But if you look over the North Sea from us to our friends in Scandinavia, places like Iceland and Sweden's been doing this for years, they've just done a very simple thing, but quite revolutionary thing, which is to say that part of what we would call maternity leave is actually reserved for dads only. And if dads don't take it, they lose it. So, you know, Iceland, for example, I'm sure you know all this, but there's a sort of 3 months for mum, 3 months for dad, and 3 months for either of them, depending what they decide. And it's only been in since 2000, but they're seeing massive changes in the way that dads are just feeling much more at home in the experience. And I think there's something about dads being sort of thrown in the deep end on our own, you know, because often we sort of step back and become a kind of assistant to mum. And that, you know, there's plenty of history behind that, and mums are brilliant carers and, of course, often do know best to start with. But once dad is on his own for 3 months and mum's gone back to work, suddenly, you know, we have to work out where the sock drawer is and for how to change a nappy and all of these things, which might be a bit of a steep learning curve to start with. But the evidence is that, you know, we get the hang of it and realise, you know, I can do this. And the confidence levels rocket, and you just don't look back from that. You know, the more kind of contact that us dads have with our babies right at the start, that's going to ripple right through life, right through society, and indeed benefits women just as much as men. So I've rambled a little bit there, but I'm very passionate about this stuff, as you can tell.
Yes. The way forward may be, as you say, the examples of Iceland and some of those Scandinavian countries, but have you, in fact, had much opposition to Year of the Dad?
No. As I say, we've been really bowled over by the kind of win-win feel of it. There's been a little bit of suspicion, I would say, from a kind of what you might call this radical feminism, perhaps. It's sort of, you know, why men in the limelight? You're in the limelight all the time. And I've kind of explained a little bit about the reasoning behind that. And a little bit of opposition from what you might call men's rights organisations, who want us to be fighting in, I think, for kind of better legal systems for kind of custody and so on. I think it's sort of probably true that at the moment dads come off a little bit worse in kind of custody disputes and in family courts. But our take on that is that once dads are much more involved as parents and that becomes a cultural norm, any of these anomalies will change on their own. In the meantime, we want to very much get away from a sort of adversarial campaign and make it a win-win, a kind of, this is good for dads, it's good for mums, it's good for children. And plenty of our supporters, I'd say at least half, are mums who say, yeah, absolutely. And in fact, what's really interesting is in Iceland, it was actually the sort of a feminist equality lobby in combination with some dads who brought in this legislation in the first place. So whereas in some places that you're getting opposition from that, I think they saw pretty clearly and kind of almost prophetically that if you give men some leave to actually get the hang of parenting, that'll ripple right through things like doing more housework. And I think it was Gloria Steinem who said that women won't have equality in the workplace until men have equality in the home. It's quite interesting coming from a very strident women's campaigner. She saw that a long time ago. And, you know, absolutely, that's true, I think. So, you know, we think that the kind of opposition, if there is any, from the kind of radical women's wing is misguided. And actually, most mums are really for this and they see the benefits for children. So that's our position.
Well, we can tell how passionate you are about this, Nick, but how did it all get moving? How did you get the government on side to support this Year of the Dad?
Well, that all comes down to a very small group of sort of dads workers and, I guess, visionaries, really. We've got sort of three or four others who are doing anything from 1 day to 3 days a week. We're trying to model what we're saying about flexible working and child-friendly working in the kind of jobs that we're doing, so that, for example, it would be kind of ironic if running this campaign we were sort of neglecting our own kids because we were working all the hours God sends to roll out this campaign. So we're being very careful to make sure that even in delivering it, we're sort of showing that it's possible to work flexibly for the good of our children and to get home and be there for them as well. You know, it's come from a sort of little tiny revolutionary spark, I suppose, a little bit of entrepreneurialism on the part of some great guys and women who sort of started this off.
We're going to talk about the cultural changes that have led to all this in a moment, but we're going to take a short break now. And this is a song by Kenny Loggins that he put on an album devoted to songs for the children, make all us men get a bit clingy. This song is called Return to Pooh Corner.
Christopher Robin and I walked along under branches lit up by the moon, posing our questions to our Dior as our days disappear all too soon. But I've wandered much further today than I should, and I can't seem to find my way back to the one. So help me if you can. I've gotta get back to the house at 1:15. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the dance of Christopher Robin and Cool. Winnie the Pooh doesn't know what to do. Got a honey jar stuck on his nose. He came to me asking help and advice. From here, no one knows where he goes. So I sent him to ask of the owl that bees there how to loosen a jar from the nose of a bear. Help me if you can. I've got to get back to the house at 1:15. You'd be surprised, there's so much to be done. Count all the bees in the hive, chase all the clouds from the sky. Back to the days of Christopher Robin Pooh.
We're back with Dads on the Air.
And that was Return to Pooh Corner by Kenny Loggins. And we're speaking today with Nick Thorpe, who is the award-winning writer, editor and speaker and head of communications, Fathers Network Scotland. And we're talking in particular about Year of the Dad 2016 in Scotland and anywhere else in the world that wants to take it up. Nick, what do you see as the cultural changes that have in the workplace and in the house over the last, say, 50 years?
Well, there's been a huge change, isn't there, in the last couple of generations, from a place where, certainly in the UK, a majority of dads weren't even present at their children's births, if you're looking at the kind of post-war generation. And that's now changed to a place where we recognise that it's brilliant for dads to be there right from the start. And now the vast majority of dads are there when their children are born. That single fact is an amazing change. And also the average sort of time a father spends taking care of his children has risen by apparently about 800% between 1970 and I think the figures we're looking at here are 1997, so it's probably changed even more since then. But that's gone from 15 minutes every day to 3 hours every day, which is, a significant change. And so I think this is happening anyway, and what we're trying to do is help culture sort of catch up and employers catch up, because I think we're still working off an old script in some of these situations. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's no reason why dads should be any less likely to take time off around the birth of their children than mums are. And that's where we want to get to. So we have to take employers along with us and services along with us. And to be fair, a lot of them are seeing the obvious benefits of a time with their kids. I don't know if you heard over in Australia, the Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg recently said he was taking a lot of time off for paternity leave. Virgin, I think, announced that their dads could take up to a year's paternity leave. So I think we need lots of flagship organisations to kind of be the trailblazers and say, look, this is normal, of course. Why wouldn't we? I think even yesterday, I think Prince William, didn't he say, actually, being a dad is one of the most important jobs there can be, because he was being asked to sort of say why he was spending a little bit less time than expected doing lots of royal duties. And great, good for him, he said. You know what? Being with my kids is more important. And it absolutely is.
Well, that's great. I mean, we've heard from women for a long time saying it's difficult to get flexible hours, but I think you could underline that as far as men are concerned. It's even harder for them to get the time off. So, as you say, if we get these examples, it may get the message out.
Yeah, I mean, we've done some of our own research with Edinburgh University, actually, and what we discovered was that men would almost always rather say they're going to a dentist appointment or make something up than say, you know what, I want to go and see my son in his nativity play. There's a kind of reluctance and a belief that bosses will see you somehow as non-careerist and, not really up to it if you show a desire to be with your family. And that's got to change. That's no good for anybody. There's absolutely no reason why you can't be a superb employee and also very committed to your family. In fact, I think you're more likely to keep employees and have a kind of loyalty factor kicking in if you treat them well and show that they can be great dads and great employees.
Mm. And I suppose the other side of the coin is that that women have changed too, that women are going into the workplace. They need to really allow the men to get into the nurturing as well, and perhaps they need to think of themselves more as breadwinners.
We're kind of letting the women say that when, rather than trying to say that for them. Although I say we, actually our whole organisation is gender balanced. I think we've actually got more women working for Year of the Dad than we have men at the minute. But I think there's an admission. Often it's a sort of private admission, but at one of our conferences the other week, a woman came up and said, you know, I can really see why this is a great idea for everybody, but I really don't want to give up my maternity leave. And, you know, there is a kind of sense in which I think probably women are going to need to cede a little bit of ground in the home in the same way that men need to cede ground in the workplace. And, you know, I think the most visionary women are already doing that and saying this is going to be good for all of us. Certainly that's what's happened in Iceland. I mean, what you've seen in just in the just over 10 years since that fully came in is that, you know, relationships have improved. I think even kind of divorce settlements have become more equitable. There's been this remarkable change in sort of equality generally that's spawned by the time that dads are now spending at home. So it's an absolute win-win, and I think women are seeing that, and I think a lot of women are behind this campaign as much as men, because they see that. But yeah, sure, there may need to be a little bit of accommodation, let's call it, by women in the home in order to accommodate men.
And we're speaking with Nick Thorpe. Nick, I think you've made yourself a bit of an expert on the statistics. Do you think the dads do want to spend more time at home with the kids, or are they sort of hell-bent on advancing their careers perhaps in a different way?
I think some of us are sometimes a little bit anxious about it. We wonder if we're up to it, kind of as I was saying fairly honestly earlier on. In the same way that in the workplace there's been a kind of negative spin-off from men being in control, and that some women wonder if they're up to it. You know, men are much more likely to be the ones who are very confident and brash sometimes, and it takes a bit of a fight for women to find the real place. I think sometimes some of us men are a little bit underselling ourselves as carers, and it actually, that's why it takes some time on our own with our kids to realise we can do this. But even saying that, 67% of fathers in surveys that we've been looking at say that work stops them from being with their children, and they're not happy with that. Mm. And, I mean, we're not saying that all dads must now become stay-at-home dads by any means. We're not trying to prescribe what role should be, merely that there's the opportunity for that to happen. But absolutely, there's a sense that many dads are frustrated and unhappy at the amount of time that they're just required to be present at work, not even necessarily achieving anything, but there's this what you call presenteeism culture, certainly in the UK. I don't know what it's like in Australia, where it's almost like nobody's realised yet that you get more efficiency if men just work to order, work to the time they're doing, have to fit things in, and then go home. I've certainly found that myself. I was a freelance before my son came along, and I haven't achieved any less since, because I've realised I've got to fit more into less time, and I do it more efficiently and feel better about it. But we all know that feeling of kind of, you know, you finish what you're doing, you know, should you go home at 5, or will that be seen as a little bit of work shy? You know, yeah. I think we need to change that completely and get more to the continental system that they have in Europe, where actually people are raising eyebrows and saying, are you not a very efficient worker if you're still hanging around at sort of 5:30? Yeah. I think we need to flip that.
Well, yes, the message has to get out, because I think the first results that came through after 1 year of shared parental leave, the take-up by men was very disappointing. I think some were saying it was only 1%, although I think you disagreed with that figure.
That was a real shame, because that's a completely false figure. 1% is the number of men, full stop, who took up shared parental leave. But, of course, you know, what proportion of men are actually dads, or far less actually needing to take time off last year. You know, it was a bit of a clumsy survey there, and it's been a very discouraging thing that came out, and it was picked up slightly uncritically across the media in the UK that, only 1% of dads even want to do this now that they've got the opportunity. We think the figure's much more likely to be a sort of 11 or 12%. Certainly the Scottish Government itself did a survey of eligible men in its ranks who could have taken up shared parental leave, i.e. had a baby coming along and was therefore eligible, and it was 11.5%. And the UK government, which is the one that brought in the legislation, was only predicting itself between 2 and 8% in the first year. And that's certainly what happened in Iceland and places when it wasn't compulsory, when there was no use it or lose it element. Tiny proportions of men actually took it up. And that's all about the kind of weight of culture, I think, and having to change the idea of what dads should be doing. And I suppose Year of the Dad is trying to do what would be much more efficiently done by a change in legislation, to be honest, which is to push cultural change, accelerate it, find the examples of dads who are doing this already, project them on into the sort of public arena so it normalizes it and people become aware that other people are doing it. And by hearing a headline, only 1% of men are picking it up, sadly, a lot of men are going to go, oh, right, this is just for the outliers. This is just for a few really unusual guys. I better just keep my head down still. No, let's not let that happen. Let's be the ones who sort of blaze the trail, take the risk of being the first guy in the organization to do it, and then start setting an example for other men. I think it's going to happen, but I think it's going to happen more slowly because these things often need to be legislated on.
So, Nick, how does Year of the Dad fit in with the overall aims of Fathers Network Scotland, which you're the head of communications for?
Well, it's very much on mission for us. I mean, that's exactly what we're trying to do. It's, you know, celebrate the difference a great dad can make. Fathers Network Scotland is about creating a father-friendly world. And it kind of came about because we realised that there's a lot of unconscious bias in society against men as carers, in the same way there's some unconscious bias against women as workers. You know, there's, for example, you I don't know if you have mother care over in Australia, but that's a massive chain, which is where you go to buy your strollers and all your baby supplies. The very title says this is all about mums. Mm-hmm. You often get it in adverts. There was a kind of healthy eating campaign over here recently where they said, we're asking the mums of Scotland to get behind our campaign. And it sort of took us to go, hang on, are you saying dads don't cook? You know, are dads not also involved in creating healthy food? And as soon as you point these things out, organisations go, oh, wow, yeah, absolutely right. Of course, yeah, wow, what are we thinking? And they change it. So we're kind of raising awareness, I guess, of the bias and gradually chipping away at this cultural norm that dads are the wage earners and the providers and mums are kind of back at home, which is very out of date.
Yes, I think there's an ongoing role there, and I hope that we in Australia can join with you on that. But we've reached the end of our discussion, unfortunately. Nick, I'm sure we could talk for hours on all this, but we always ask our guests if they'd like to pick a song. Would you like to tell us which song you've picked and why you picked it?
Yeah, sure. This is a song. Some friends of mine are in a band called Lies Damn Lies. It's an excellent band from Scotland. And they wrote a song a few years ago called At the Centre, which I always find a very moving song because it's kind of picturing a society very different from our own where we've just learned to get along, we've learned kind of win-win solutions, we've learned to accept each other. So it's quite an idealistic, possibly even slightly hippie-ish song, but it always inspires me, so I thought it'd be a good one to end on.
Center. children, we are welcome. And we sail across the oceans, up the river to the center, and we walk through the city with our neighbors till we get there, and we watch as the faithful and the carers join the party, and it's time for the old ones to tell their stories for us all. At the center, we are children, we are welcome. We are children, we are welcome.
And that was At the Centre by Lies Damned Lies. And so it just remains for me now to thank our special guest, Nick Thorpe. Nick, thank you very much for being on the program.
It's a pleasure. Nice to speak to you, Bill.
And it's great to hear all this positive energy coming from Scotland in the Year of the Dad. So we'll be back next week. But don't forget, in the meantime, we'd love to hear from any of you. Just go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, send us an email and we'll be in touch. And also, if you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to that same website, dadsontheair.com.au, or you can follow us on Facebook or Twitter. So we'll be back next week with another show, but for now, it's goodbye from Dads on the Air.